The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Again, thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. It seems like I'm bringing up the race issue, not every day, but every two or three days, because it is at a boiling point. And I know you're probably getting sick and tired of me saying it. But there are people who are trying to unite us, hopefully biblically, and there are people who are trying to divide us. And we need to speak out against anyone who is trying to divide us and drive a wedge between us racially, economically, or any other way. Doesn't make any difference whether they're black or white. Now, it is extremely acceptable to point out white people who have a problem with prejudice, who are trying to divide us, and rightfully so. I don't have a problem with that. I have no problem whatsoever with pointing out white supremacy, white racism, where it exists. I have no problem with that at all. I really don't. But where the problem comes in today, it is not acceptable to point out racism, prejudice, and bigotry and hatred when it is a black person. That is not acceptable. And folks, we are not going to make real progress until we get over that. We need to expose bigotry and prejudice, hatred, anger, racism, regardless of the color of the skin. Can I give you an example? A Barnard College English professor by the name of Ben Philippe has written a book titled, Sure, I'll Be Your Black Friend. Now, Ben Philippe, again, college English professor at Barnard College, and he is black. He's written a book, Sure, I'll Be Your Black Friend. Here is a quote from his book. You ready for this? Here is a quote from a black English professor by the name of Ben Philippe. And I quote, when this race war hits its crescendo, I'll gather you all into a beautifully decorated room under the pretense of unity. I'll give a speech to civility and all the good times we share. I'll smile as we raise glasses to your good white health while the detonator blinks under the table, knowing the exits are locked and the air vents filled with gas. A reference to the gassing of Jews during the Holocaust. Yeah. Can I read that for you again in case you didn't catch it? This is an English professor, a black man. Quote, when this race war hits its crescendo, I'll gather you all into a beautifully decorated room under the pretense of unity. I'll give a speech to civility and all the good times we share. I'll smile as we raise glasses to your good white health. While the detonator blinks under the table, knowing the exits are locked and the air vents filled with gas. He's talking about the genocidal murder of white people. Now, he was interviewed by a Canadian broadcasting journalist. The Canadian broadcasting journalist is a Jewish person, quote, whose grandparents survived the Holocaust. She told the author, Ben Philippe, that she was disturbed by the passage. She is a white Jew. She is interviewing a man who has written a book, at least in part, is advocating the genocidal murder of white people. And she says, having grandparents who survived the Holocaust, I found what you wrote as disturbing. But get this. Ben Philippe at that point said, well, it was disturbing to write, too. He assured the journalist that he is not a violent person. Now, how did the journalist who is interviewing a guy who has advocated for white genocidal murder of white people, she says, my grandparents survived the Holocaust. I find this disturbing. His response was not, oh, my goodness, I'm sorry you didn't take it that you took it wrong. I didn't mean it that way. I was, you know, he simply said, well, it was disturbing to write, too. And I'm not a violent person. At that point, the Canadian broadcast journalist apologized to the black person who wants to kill a bunch of white people. She said, and I quote, I wanted to say to you that I'm so sorry that your experience of the world made you feel that way. Instead of confronting absolute evil, she says, oh, I'm so sorry that your world experience has made you feel that way. What do I tell you constantly? The left does not deal with fact, truth, but feelings and emotions. That's the only thing that matters is how you feel, your emotions. So this whacked out journalist whose grandparents survived the Holocaust is sitting across from someone who is advocating murdering white people in gas chambers, and she apologizes to him because his life experiences make him feel that way. It'll be interesting to see how Bernard College responds to this because it has gone somewhat viral. Will he be fired? Probably not. Now, if he'd been a white dude and said something like that about black people, he could kiss his job goodbye. Why? And by the way, if he was a white guy saying things like that about black people, he should be fired. Now, he has a constitutional right, I guess, to express it, but no college in their right mind would allow a professor on their faculty to spout such hatred. If it was a white person, it would be condemned, and it should be. But according to critical race theory, CRT, if you're a black person, well, you're part of the oppressed, and so you have a right to feel that way. You've been oppressed, and you just can't help feeling that way, that white people should be murdered, and we should all be expected to just understand how he feels. Really? Yeah. So someone like him, we will be told, well, we just need to understand his angst, his hurt, his anger. But then you have someone like Vodi Bakum, a black preacher. He is trying to be silenced when he is speaking about reconciliation and love and unity. Yeah, powerful forces are trying to silence him. I'll tell you what that's about when we return. You're listening to Bob Burney Live, and we'll be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
It is a bizarre thing. And today we have black college professors like Ben Philippe advocating the genocidal murder by gas of white people. And being defended, well, you know, he deserves to feel that way. He's had a rough time, and he has experienced racism, and he's just expressing his frustration and his angst and so on. And we just need to understand. And then you've got Vodi Bakum, who, by the way, is recovering nicely from his open heart surgery. From what I understand, he is doing well, and praise God, because we need his voice. He wrote this recently, and let me read just a little bit of his statement. Again, this is from a black preacher. As a Christian minister, I'm used to being stifled when I talk about my religion outside of church. If I bring up faith in Jesus Christ, the guardians of the secular public square are quick to inform me that my religion is strictly a private matter. But these days, I'm stifled not because of the religion I practice, but because of the one I reject, the religion of anti-racism, which is now the established church of academia, government, the media, and business. One dogma of this new religion is that America needs to have a conversation about race. But Americans have been talking about race since at least the 1860s. Nobody is trying to avoid talking about race, but many are trying to control what is said. The elites of our society urge us to elevate black voices, but it is important to understand what they mean. They don't want to elevate all black voices, only those who subscribe to the creed of critical race theory. If you don't avow that our society is infected with systemic racism and that white supremacy, white privilege, and white fragility are the root of all the problems that black people face, then you're a heretic. Your consciousness is white, and therefore oppressive, no matter how black your skin may be. I am a descendant of slaves and a child of the Great Migration, but anti-racists will tell you I'm not really black. I suffer from internalized racism, they insist. I'm trying to curry favor with white people. They dismiss me and other black nonconformists as sellouts, traitors, or Uncle Toms who are skinfolk but not kinfolk. Consider the slurs that the voices of tolerance have flung at Senator Tim Scott since he gave the Republican response to Joe Biden's State of the Union address. What does it tell us about our conversation about race that the very people who demand it would exclude unconventional black thinkers like Thomas Sowell, Carol Swain, Shelby Steele, John McWhorter, and the late Walter Williams? There is no rational debate in the Church of Anti-Racism, for it demands a blind faith, and it is punitive, for it is a religion without grace. That's why anti-racist ideologues try to silence black voices like mine. We threaten not only their opinions, but their religion, their God. Even Barack Obama falls short. The woke priesthood prevented a public school in Chicago from being renamed for the former president because he didn't go enough for the illegal immigrants. Anti-racism and the woke priesthood are targeting not merely the wrong black voices. They're coming for all of us. You might acquiesce to their demands today, but they will continue to demand more and more of you. Your official statements will not be remorseful enough. Your reparation packages will not be big enough. Your diversity initiatives will not be diverse enough. You cannot appease the God of anti-racism. I have devoted my life to preaching the gospel of Christ. Now I am confronted with the anti-gospel of anti-racism, which preaches there is no forgiveness for America's original sin of racism, no repentance for white privilege. At the preaching of the diversity, equity, and inclusion officers, corporate CEOs and university presidents tremble and cry, "What must we do to be saved?" Apparently, they miss the fine print. Perhaps they need to start listening to a different set of black voices, or at least practicing a different religion. That's a short piece from Dr. Vodi Bakum. He is the author of a brand new book called Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. I'm waiting to get my copy of it. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Dr. Vodi Bakum is a much, much needed voice. And what he's saying is so true. I had a black guest on my program, it's been a couple of months ago. And he didn't toe the line of the liberal leftist ideology. And I got some of the nastiest emails I have ever received, calling me a racist and calling my black guest an Uncle Tom and worse things simply because he didn't toe the leftist line. Division is what they desire.